Good evening, everybody. I guess people were scared off by the rain. So generally around this time of year, we try and have one shiur in the shul, which is in some sort of commemoration to the Holocaust. We try to do something which is a sugya of relation to the Holocaust. So I always try to just take one shaila from the Shaila Sechuvas Mimamakim, which we're all familiar with, and then we'll branch out on our own to plow through the sugya and see what the halacha l'maisa should be. Obviously, this is a very unfortunate type of sugya that we hope will never come halacha l'maisa. So here we go. Here's the shaila in the Chuvas Mimamakim, which was presented to Rav Ashri. Says Rav Ashri as follows: B'yam vav mar cheshvan, shnas tovshin beis, yomayim lefnei hachurban hanora shel ghetto kovna. This is 2 days before the destruction in the Kovna ghetto. Shah shel einenu huvlu ka'asros alafim ish. He says there were thousands and thousands of people who were killed on that day. Anashim nashim v'taf lehachriyam latevach v'chol echad miyoshvei ha-ghetto tzipa l'keitz hamar eishas roa ha-rasha shal azedim ha-arurim tunaf alav be'achzarius v'tachrisum e'eretz ha-chayim. He said we were anticipating, at this time we were anticipating the day when finally the Nazis would be destroyed and the Rebbeinu Shlomo would take care of them once and for all. Az b'sha trufazu. So says Rav Ashi, at this very difficult time, boy lai balabais echad, one balabas came to me, minich bade ha'ir, he was one of the very chashev people in the ghetto, yagua ba'anachaso, v'demaso alechio, he's crying and he's sad and he's nervous and anxious, uberov sicho, after discussing with me, he says the following, ki nafsho hi b'shelasa. He has the following shaila, echacha yuchal liros b'ra'ash or yimtza es mishpachto. How am I able to experience, how am I going to be able to actually see this pain that my family is going to go through? Ishto banav b'nei banav, I have a wife and children and grandchildren, sheyitachin ma'od. It's very possible and probable for that matter, sheyuftechu l'neged einav, kedei lahagdil es tzaro v'yisurov. So he was saying that he knows that the Nazis are going to want to make him suffer, so the Nazis are going to make him shoot each one of his family members, watch them bleed to death, watch them all die one after the next, and after going through all this terrible pain and suffering, then the Nazis will finally kill him. Sha'ariyah rotzchem agermanim, the Germans bin hagem haya lehis anegal yisurim v'hatzar shol karbono sehem. The Germans got pleasure out of the more pain they inflicted upon someone. V'lachein, ayinogim larugas habanim le'enei avoseyem. For that reason, to make it a more dramatic type of killing, they used to kill the children in front of the parents. V'esanashim le'enei ba'leyem, the women in front of their husbands. V'rak acharei. After they would finally get so involved in the killing process, after they had so much pleasure in watching the amount of pain and suffering that people were going through, then they would kill the father in order that the father should have to withstand all this terrible sight. Since this balabas obviously would not be able to stand watching his whole family get killed and suffer in front of him, he's going to plot, he's going to go crazy, he's going to have a nervous breakdown from watching this. Rabashi said the person came and presented the following shaila. Am I allowed to bring my death a little bit closer than it otherwise would have been? Can I commit suicide? Obviously, I know it's generally not a right thing to do, but under the circumstances he presented the shaila, maybe I should be allowed to do so. In order that I should save myself from the suffering of watching my family have to die in front of my face. He says also, I never know, the Nazis might torture me if they get their hands on me. If I take my own life, it will be without pain. So these were the two questions that were posed to Rav Ashri regarding this balabas who wanted to save himself from the terrible yisurim that he was about to go through. And he wants to know, is it permissible for me to commit suicide? So I just want to go through this very unfortunate sugya. Unfortunately, it does come up halacha l'maisa every once in a while. We do have people who are ma'abed atzmam l'das, and we just want to go through what the guidelines are. When do we consider a person to be a ma'abed atzmam l'das, and when do we assume that he does not fall under that category of ma'abed atzmo l'das. When do we assume that certain restrictions for one who commits suicide would apply or would not apply? And then we'll see how this sugya will play out in many different scenarios. So number one, we have in Parshas Noach, if you look in number Beis, the psukim tell us as follows. Ve'achas dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh. Ve'achas dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh simply means, I will hold you accountable for your blood. Miyad kol chaya edroshana, which simply means, and the same applies if some other being takes the life of another human being, I will hold him accountable. Miyad ha'adam, miyad ish achiv, edrosh as nefesh ha'adam, I will hold everyone accountable not to take the lives of anybody else. Then the psukim tell us, shochveich dam ha'adam, someone who goes ahead and murders somebody else, ba'adam damo yishafeich, ki b'tzelam elokim asa asa adam, because you are not respecting the tzelam elokim of every other individual, and therefore you're taking his life because you don't see any value in him. You say, oh, he's nothing special. He's nothing that we should be careful about his life. I would rather take his life than to have him around. So since you are violating the Tzelem Elokim, therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam takes away your life as well. The Ribbono Shel Olam will get back at you and make sure that your life is held responsible for taking the lives of others. Now from here, obviously, we learn the famous sugya about abortion. Many hold abortion has learned that from this pasuk. That's the way it seems in the Gemara. But that's not the sugya we're getting into. We're basically getting into the pasuk of Achas Dimchem L'Nafsho Seichem Edrosh. Now, what does that mean? The pasuk already tells me at the end, Miyad Ha'adam, I'm going to hold a man responsible if he takes the life of another man. So what does it mean? Achas Dimchem L'Nafsho Seichem Edrosh. I'm going to hold you accountable for your own body. So says the Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, which is in number Beis. Achas Dimchem L'Nafsho Seichem Edrosh, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Miyad Nafsho Seichem Edrosh Es Dimchem. If a person commits suicide, he is to be held accountable for what he did. Now, what exactly can that possibly mean? What can that possibly mean? What can the Ribbono Shel Olam do to me? I already committed suicide. I'm not alive anymore. So the Torah Tmimah on that pasuk says that this is the makor that ein lo chelek l'olam haba, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to hold you accountable. Your olam haba is taken away. So we'll see in a few minutes. We're going to discuss. This seems to be a big fairy tale about ein lo chelek l'olam haba. It's a big question in the Acharonim where exactly that comes from. So the Torah Tmimah says, look in the Pasuk, that's what the Pasuk means. The same way a murderer is going to be held responsible and he's going to be killed by Beis Din, so too, if a person takes his own life and commits suicide for no good reason, he will be held responsible and he will not get Olam Haba as he should have otherwise. Okay, so says the Rambam, this is the Halacha L'Maisem, Perak Beis, Mehilchas, Pratzeach, Shmiras HaNefesh. One is not allowed to commit suicide, it's an Isser De'araisim. Similarly, the Rambam tells us, the famous Rambam in Perak Yud Ches from Hilchas Sanhedrin, Halacha above. Says the Rambam, one is also, this is the reason why if a person walks into Beis Din and he says, well, I want everyone in this room to know, I was Mechal Shabbos with Edom and Hasra, happens to be the Edom died, but I did it wrong, you should believe me, give me skila. Or a person walks into the room and he says, you should murder me because I murdered someone else, and he's giving it on his own admission. Says the Rambam, you have no right to give up your life in Beis Din and say that you're responsible, you're held accountable for something that you claim that you did. Why not? Says the Radbaz over there, because your life does not belong to you. Says the Radbaz, Hanafashos Lihena. The Pasuk says that the Nafashos of Klai Yisrael belong to me. It's not your property. You don't have a right to mutilate your body. You don't have a right to take your own life. And by that matter, you don't have a right, says the Rambam, to walk into a Beis Din and say that you are Chayiv Misas Beis Din without Edom and Hasra. So that is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch Halacha L'Maaseh. The Rana Masechah Shavuos, Yudam and Aleph and Dafi Arif writes, let's say a person takes a, he's quoting the Rambam, let's say a person is Nishba Shalo Yitam Klum Zayin Yamim Ritzufim. Person takes a shua, I am not going to eat anything for the next 7 days straight, no eating, no drinking, nothing. Says the Rambam, quoted in the Ran, Hareza Loka Machma Shua Shav. Person should get Malkus right away because that is a shua shav. Why is it a shua shav? Because, says the Rambam, because you violated an Issa Torah. The Torah said you're not allowed to commit suicide. If a person doesn't eat or drink for 7 days, he's ostensibly committing suicide. Therefore, says the Ran, quoting the Rambam, one would not have the right to make a shvua that he's not going to eat, he's going to go on a hunger strike for the next 7 days, one does not have a right to do that because ostensibly he is making a shvuas shav. He's going to get an isser in the Torah. So it seems that this seems to be an isser daraisa. One would not be permitted to commit suicide. Now, what are the guidelines of who is considered a ma'abed atzmo l'das? How do we make this clear? Who is the person who committed suicide? Just to catch up those who just showed up, we are going through a tshuva in the Shalos HaTshuvos Mimamakim from the Holocaust, about a person who wanted to know, does he have a right to commit suicide in order to save himself from suffering? So I just want to go through this sugya and clarify certain things. So number one, the Rambam tells us as follows. This is in number three in the sources. The Rambam says in Hilchos Avel, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Ezehu ha-ma'abed atzma ladas, says the Rambam. What's the defining characteristic of a person who's ma'abed atzma ladas, says the Rambam. Lo sha'ala l'rosh agag v'nafal u'meis. We're not talking about a situation where a person goes up to the roof and then circumstantial evidence tells us that he probably committed suicide because we know that he was depressed and we know that all of a sudden he went up to the roof and all of a sudden he fell down and all of a sudden he's dead. Says the Rambam, that's not good enough. Ella, it has to be with the following conditions. Ha'omer, ha'reni ola l'rosh agag. A person says specifically, I'm going up to the roof, and we see him right afterwards storm up to the roof, and he goes up there and he says, I'm committing suicide because I hate my life. That is the case, says the Rambam, that is the only case where we consider you a ma'abed atzma ladas. Otherwise, if we just find a person who's dead, even if we have circumstantial evidence, even if we have reason to assume maybe this is what happened, says the Rambam, you do not have this strange status of ma'abed atzma ladas. You would have the status of some sort of murder that we don't know exactly how it happened.
How is it affecting us? It's if you're telling me that the person who commits suicide is not getting out on Haba, or the one that... What do I care?
So we'll get to that in a few minutes. Very good question. It's noget hilchos avelus. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So then, says the Rambam the Darkei Moshe, quoting the Tshuva Samaril. Let's say you have a person who, I see that he's about to violate an Issu D'Oraisa. Let's say I see he's about to violate something which is Chiv Skila and Bezdin. And Edom go over to him and they say, don't you dare violate that Issur. We're going to bring you to Bezdin. You're going to be Chiv Skila. Says the Rambam, quoting the Maharil, this would be considered a Ma'abed Atzma Ladas. Eino Chelek L'Alam Haba. Why? Because you intentionally went ahead and killed yourself. You intentionally went ahead when the Edom said, don't you dare do that Aver because you're going to get Mises Bezdin. And still you say, in a defiant manner, Afalpikin Ani Yosef, I'm still going to do it. Says the Ramah, quoting the Ma'aril, you are considered a Ma'abed Atzma Ladas. The Amshar Shlomo writes similarly in Gittin in the fourth parak. Let's say you have a person who lives in a community. I'm sure there are some sort of communities that have these type of laws. I'm not familiar with them, but basically the Amshar Shlomo says, what if you live in a neighborhood where the punishment for stealing is you get killed? And you... What?
Saudi Arabia.
Is that the way it is? Saudi Arabia. So, what?
Cut off your hand.
Okay, so that's different. But let's say... They're assuming they're not going to get caught. Right, but says over here, says the Yamsha Shlomo, let's say you have an individual who knows that the law in this community, if you get caught stealing, they're going to kill you. Says the Yamsha Shlomo, you are considered ma'abed atzma ladas. If you end up getting caught and getting killed, it's not that, oh, the government did something that's not right to you. You are responsible for your own life. Since you put yourself in that situation, it is your responsibility, you lose your Olam Haba. That's what the Yamsha Shlomo writes. Says the Pischei Tshuva in Yerodeya, and this is a very important Pischei Tshuva, this is in Siman Shin Mem Hei in Yerodeya, Chela Gimel, Hilchos Avelus, says the Pischei Tshuva as follows. The only time, you're right, the Rambam says that only time we can consider a person a Ma'abed Atzma Ladas is in a scenario where the person actually told us that he's doing it for this particular reason. It's not just circumstantial evidence, says the Pischei Tshuva. This is only if he's Asa Kein Bedas Tzilula. Says the Pischei Tshuva, it's only if I do it, like some of the Achronim write, I did a Kedas HaPhilosophim. There were those as existentialists who said, well, there's no such thing as life, there's no such thing as Olam Haba, there's no such thing in anything. So you're doing it on principle because you believe that there's no value to life. Or like there were some philosophers who believe, there's no reason to live. Nachal Adam Shalom Nivra. So says the Pischei Tshuva, the only time we label you as a Ma'abed Atzma Ladas is in a case where you're also came Bedas Tzilula, you're doing it for a specific purpose, and the purpose is because you want to be like those groups who believe that there is no value in life or there is no value in Olam Haba. However, says the Pischei Tshuva, what if you're the type of person who has some sort of depression issue or you're some sort of person who has, you know, anxiety or whatever, you have some mental condition which obviously brings you, which in our cases, for all intents and purposes, in all cases we hear of suicide, it's not because a person is doing it b'shita. It's because a person has terrible pain, he has something terribly bothering him, which makes him go totally meshuga, and all of a sudden he's finally going to find himself wanting to commit suicide. In that case, the Achronim coined that as a ma'abed atzmo shalola das. That's what they say. You're doing it without das. My emotions took over. It's not that I'm doing this on purpose. I'm doing it because I have no choice, because my emotions bottled up inside of me are pushing me to say that there's no other option than to take my own life. Therefore, says the Pischei Tshuva, in that case, we would not assume that you're labeled as a ma'abed atzmo ladas. Yeah. So that's what we're getting at. That's the next point in the shir. Thank you. So here we go. What's the case? So we just set up the two types of cases. We have some people that do it because on principle they feel this is the right way to live life, or not to live life, just to commit suicide. Those people are real ma'abed atzmo l'das. We have the people who are totally mentally disturbed, who are committing suicide because they have a mental issue. Those people are obviously not considered ma'abed atzmo l'das. Now what's the case in the middle ground?
In Rambam's case, though, isn't that similar to what you're saying about him? You say, Yushalami yad berkasad o'shayabetzah. Isn't that situation where he is kind of...
So we're going to get to that in a minute. What about the middle cases? What about these cases, for example? You have someone who's suffering terribly. He doesn't have a mental illness. He just knows that he's going to... Like the case of the Chuvas Mima Makam. This person knows that he's going to go through terrible, terrible suffering that he won't be able to withstand. What's the case in that type of scenario? What's the halacha in that case? Do we assume you're Ma'abed Atzma L'das or Ma'abed Atzma Shalol L'das? That's the question. What if a person knows that he's not going to be able to stay religious anymore? He knows he's going to be captured by the non-Jews. He knows that in that process he's going to be tortured and they're going to make sure he doesn't remember anything about his Yiddishkeit. What's the din in such a case? Where he's doing it not because he has a mental illness, but he's doing it for some other sibat status. He's doing it for some other purpose. What would we assume in that type of scenario? So let's look at the psukim in Shmuel when it talks about the death of Shaul HaMelech when he encounters the Plishtim. That's where this all comes down to. And we have to understand what was the heter of Shaul HaMelech to commit suicide. And with that, we'll understand how we can take out from that and apply it into other type of modern-day situations. So here we go. Says the Psukim in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, who plishtim nilchamim b'Yisrael. So there was this fight between the plishtim and Klal Yisrael. Vayonusu anshe Yisrael mepnei plishtim. Excuse me. So obviously, there was a very fierce battle. Klal Yisrael was very nervous. And Klal Yisrael begins to retreat from the plishtim. They begin to run away. Pasuk Gimel, Vatichbar Amalchama El Shaul. All of a sudden, the Plishtim are caving in, and they're coming closer to Shaul himself. Vayimtzeuhu haMorim. So all of a sudden, Shaul finds himself in the face of the enemy. Morim, I think, means the people who are the sharpshooters. So here he is. He finds himself in a very close proximity to the sharpshooters who are going to kill him. Anoshim Bakeshes Vayachal Maod MeHaMorim. So Shaul HaMelech is petrified. From these sharpshooters, what they're going to do to him. By Yomer Shaul Nosa Caleb. So Shaul says to the person who's carrying his weapons, Shlof Charbacha, take your sword, Vidakreni Ba, I want you to stab me, Pen Yavo HaRelam HaElu, because maybe the enemy, the Plishtim, are going to come, Vidakruni V'Hisalalubi. Maybe, if I don't commit suicide myself, maybe the Plishtim are going to come, and they'll stab me, V'Hisalalubi, they'll do whatever they want to do to me, V'La Ava Nosa Caleb Ki Yar Me'od. Obviously, the person who was traveling with Shaul was very nervous and concerned to do such a thing. So therefore, Shaul responded right away, so Shaul says, you don't want to kill me, I'll kill myself. Takes his sword, spears himself, and commits suicide. Okay, so the immediate reaction of the Nosei Kelev, Kimei Shaul, so he sees that Shaul HaMelech, the captain, the general, just killed himself, the Melech. Vayipal Gamhu Al-Kharba Vayamasimo, and there goes the weapons bearer, and he takes his own life as well. Vayama Shaul Shloshes Banav. So now Shaul dies, his three sons, Nosei Caleb as well. Gam Kala Nasha Vayamahu Yachtav. The whole fleet in the army is killed on that particular day. So all the Mefarshim already bothered. What heter did Shaul HaMelech have to commit suicide? What right did he have? The Plishtim weren't going to kill him for another couple of hours, a couple of days. What heter did he have to go ahead and commit suicide? So there are five. Right. Oh, so let's see. So there are five tirutzim. They all deal with Shaul HaMelech, but the Nosei Caleb, who said he did the right thing? Shaul HaMelech is considered Bechir Hashem, the Pasuk says. So Shaul HaMelech is given a grace at tzaddik. So how can you explain what heter Shaul HaMelech had to go ahead and take his own life? So there are five tirutzim given in the Achronim. Tirutz number one is the Archas Chaim, which the Beis Yosef quotes, which is Shaul HaMelech Asher Shelo Kedin. Shaul HaMelech acted on instinct. Shaul HaMelech did not do the proper thing. And therefore, we can't take any lessons from Shaul HaMelech, and we can't learn out from there to any other applications in halacha, because Shaul did the wrong thing. Okay, that's hard to understand. Shaul HaMelech goes down in history as a major tzaddik, Bechir Hashem. So, the simple understanding is that we don't accept this teretz of the Archas Chaim. There must be some other reason why Shaul HaMelech...
I think it's close to
Das. He willingly went ahead and did it.
So he told me he lost his own mouth.
according to that? So that's the question. Shalom Melech, it seems according to the Aruch HaShem, did the wrong thing. Melech Hanam did the wrong thing. So let's continue. Says the Yam Shoshlomo Baba Kama.
Says why he pulled all that. Right.
No, if I jump on a sword, that's also kumbase.
The ground's yeah. Going,
that's
a high probability.
Yeah. Okay, so says the Yam Shoshlomo Baba Kama, the eighth parak as follows. Shalom Melech was concerned. Here I am, I'm the general, I'm the king. What's going to happen if I allow the enemy to go ahead and take my life? Zok Shalom Melech. If that happens, there's going to be a war. My army is going to want to retaliate and take revenge against the Plishtim for killing the general, for killing the king. So Shalom Melech was concerned that the alternative is worse. The alternative is that more lives are going to be lost, because then there's going to be a whole war, more than there was before. People are going to be outraged that the king was killed. So therefore Shalom Melech made a conscious decision that he was going to take his own life and not allow the Plishtim to go ahead and take his life for him.
So he must have had witnesses.
What do you mean?
Because they must say Cameron died. How would they even know that the Plishtim didn't kill him?
Uh-huh. Okay.
So there must have been other people.
Okay. So that's what the Yam Shoshlomo suggests. According to that, obviously that also can't be applied to any situations that we're aware of, because it's generally not the case unless you're Rahman al-Tsan, you're the God al-Adar, who the world is going to go crazy over. But Lamaisa, for most normal people, we would assume that this reason that the Yam Shoshlomo gives in explaining the suicide of Shaul HaMelech probably is not applicable. Number three, says the Shiari Knesset HaGdola, Shaul HaMelech saw a nevuah that he was going to die in a couple of minutes. So he said, I have a nevuah that I'm going to die. It's not like it's a suffix whether or not I'm going to live out the day. I'm not going to live anyway. So he said, why allow the Plishtim to kill me? I see a nevuah, I'm going to die anyway. Why let them have the Anna? Fine. Also not applicable, because most of us don't have Nevuah. And furthermore, the Achronim ask, well, what kind of hatred did Shalom Melech have to rely on Nevuah? Lo b'shamayim hi. Since when do we paskin a shayla halacha l'maisa based on Nevuah? We always say you don't paskin based on Nevuah. You have to paskin based on the Metzias.
And Nevuah wasn't the place that we're going to kill him?
Yeah.
Then it wasn't a Nevuah.
Why?
Because
it didn't happen. Okay, interesting. Okay, very good. So obviously, according to that teretz, obviously you have this kasha, but kasha number two is
kovetz nevuah. So it's not a kovetz nevuah. So they can be kovetz nevuah.
Okay, but problem number two is, well, since when do we pass in halacha lemaisa based on nevuah? Problem number three is we can't really apply that to ourselves because we don't generally have nevuah in such a case. So number four says the Das Akenim Balei Atosis and Bereishis and Parshas Noach over there. He writes that Shaul HaMelech was in fact concerned that if he's captured by the Plishtim, they're going to make him suffer. They're going to torture him. To the point that he's no longer going to stay religious. And in such a case, Tosis already writes in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that when a person has a concern that he's not going to be able to keep the faith, he's allowed to commit suicide instead of giving in to that alternative. That's the teretz of Tosis and Avodah Zarah, as well as the Das Akenim Bala Tosis on Chumash, in explaining Shalom Melech's death because he was concerned that he's not going to be able to keep the faith any longer. Very interesting teretz, which is something we should keep in mind. Let's say you have an Israeli army soldier. You have an Israeli army soldier who knows that if he's captured, Rahman al-Itzlan, he's going to be tortured, and who knows that possibly they're not going to allow him to keep any more Yiddishkeit, right? I'm assuming that's the simple understanding in these type of cases. So maybe he has a heter to commit suicide. It was a big shayla after the whole Gilad Shalit story. We're not getting into the politics, but it was a big shayla lahalacha. A soldier who sees himself about to be captured, is he allowed to take a cyanide pill and kill himself? Is he allowed to do that before the enemy captures him? So it's a big political question. Is it right for the soldier to do that anyway? Because then he's going to save the country from a whole uproar. The whole country was up in arms. I mean, half the country was up in arms. Half the country was happy. Everyone's happy that Gilad Shalit came back. But Lamaisa, what it did to the morale of the soldiers of the country that you just let out 1,000 terrorists are roaming around the streets again just to let this person out. Maybe the right thing to do politically is for the soldier to commit suicide and not get the country into a sakana. So that's not a discussion for us, because that's more of a political question, what outweighs what. Some say that the soldiers fight better when they know that the army will do anything to get them back. Okay, so it's not a question that's based on halacha, it's a question based on the metzias. What pushes a soldier to fight better? So that's not for us for now. But lemaisa, the question is, in a different type of scenario, when you have someone who's about to be captured and he knows he's not going to be able to keep the faith, he's not going to be able to keep the religion, Tosis writes in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches, he would be allowed to give up his life. And finally, the fifth teretz is the Beis Yosef in Yerodeah Simin Kuf Nun Zayin. The Beis Yosef quotes the Aruch HaShem that any time a person is suffering tremendous pain, tremendous yisurim, that he just cannot handle, he's allowed to take his life instead of having to go through all of that, which is a pella.
They differentiate between the religions. They don't know the Malkum.
Not that I know of.
There's nothing. He's not doing anything wrong. It's beyond his control.
So let's continue a little bit. So over here, this is a very important psak of the Beis Yosef. What right do I have to give up my life just because I'm suffering? What heter is that? So my father gives a whole pshat. Okay, we won't get into it. It's a whole very fancy pshat to explain this about why. So he said, we couldn't get into it. The basic crux of what he says is just fascinating. We'll get into it maybe another time, but it's fascinating what he said that. The same way we say Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Kol HaTorah Kula, Chutz Megimel Averus Chamuras, right? Pikuach Nefesh is Docha everything except Avodah Zarah Gilui Ra'ah Shvichas Damim. Michlas Chinuch has a raya that committing suicide is not Shvichas Damim. It's not Ritzicha. It's a separate issue. So my father said, if that's true, if the Michlas Chinuch is correct, then we revert back to the regular rules that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Kol HaTorah Kula. So Pikuach Nefesh would be Docha, the issue of Shvichas Damim, of suicide also. Right, if suicide is less than Ritzicha, so then Pikuach Nefesh would override this. And when a person is going through tremendous pain and suffering, we consider that Pikuach Nefesh. So, whatever, it's a big Chiddush. Rebbe, what's his name? One second, just to prove his point. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes that, why do we go crazy to go and be Matar Agunus? Right? Why do we have to stand on our heads? Just be Matar, Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha. Right? If a woman's going to go through so much suffering, that's Pikuach Nefesh, her whole life is in shambles. She can't move on with her life. She's 20 years old, lost her husband Nebuch without any children, and now she can't move on because she's an aguna. So what's the halach in such a case? She can't get remarried until we find the heter. Why not? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, why not? So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, if not for the fact that Gilui Ra'ah is one of the Gimel Averus Chamuras, and we say that Pikuach Nefesh is not Dorcha Gilui Ra'ah, we would have said that she's allowed to go ahead and remarry without a get, and without any evidence. Why? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, because that is considered Pikuach Nefesh. For a person to live for the rest of his life with so much suffering, we would consider that Pikuach Nefesh. If not for the fact that Gilui Ra'ah was Doicha Pikuach Nefesh, I would have allowed the Aguna to go ahead and remarry Tachas Baila. So my father just extended Rabbi Yosef Engel over here as well. If the Minchas Chinuch is correct that the Isser of committing suicide is less than the Isser Ritzicha, then we revert back to the original klal that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha every Isser in the Torah. No, Rabbi Yosef Engel told us that pain and suffering for the rest of your life is considered Pikuach Nefesh. If that's the case, I'd be allowed to commit suicide. So he said maybe that's a pshat in the Beis Yosef quoting the Archas Chaim, that when a person is faced with a situation where he's going to have so much pain and suffering, he's allowed to commit suicide and not go through all of that. Okay. Whatever it is, these are the five shitas. The Sam Sofer writes, let's look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, says the Chassam Sofer, it seems in this Gemara that even if I know I'm going to go through tremendous pain and suffering, I'm still not permitted to take my life. Why? Says the Gemara as follows. Famous Gemara about the Asara Haruge Malcha. So it says that Matzu li Rab Chanina ben Tradion, finally they come to Rab Chanina ben Tradion, and Rab Chanina ben Tradion is going, violating the law. Rab Chanina ben Tradion is teaching Talmidim Torah, although he wasn't allowed to at that particular time. Shai Yoshev Osa Batara Makar Kilos Rabim, he's giving big shiur, Mesefer Torah, Munach Labacheko, Heviyu Vekarchu Besefer Torah. So as we all know from the Kinos, that they take Reb Chanina and they wrap him in a Sefer Torah, Vekivu Bechaviles Moros, Veitzisav Amasor, they light him on fire, Veheviu Spugin Shaltzemer, so cruel. They took these pouches of Tzemer, of wool, Vesharum Bemayim, they soaked them in water, so that he should have a more painful death. Amrlu Talmidav, so Rabbi Chanina's Talmidim are all watching this happen, and they say to him the following, Rabbi Ma Taroa, Amr Lahem, so he says the famous words, Gvil Nisrafim Vosius Parchas Bahavir, okay. Avatab Sach Picha Vitikanes Becha Ha'esh, say the Talmidim, why are you allowing this Malchus Harisha to allow you to suffer? Why don't you open up your mouth and allow the fire to come in through your mouth and then you'll die quicker? You'll suffocate. Why are you sitting there with your mouth closed, not allowing the fire to get into your mouth? Says Reb Chanina, Amar Lahem, Reb Chanina says to them, Mutav sheyetlena misha nasna, val yachbol hu ba'atzma. I will not be involved even one cinch in my death. I'm not going to allow my death to come one second before it's supposed to happen.
What is he saying? Is it before the Sfugim Shaltzemer were on him, or after?
No, they put the Sfugim Shaltzemer on him. His death is taking a long time.
Anyway,
yeah, but they're saying to him, whatever, there are ways of being Makar Misascha.
He ended up making a deal with the one who was
So the Gemara says he ended up making a deal.
He did make it.
But he said, but they ended up doing everything. He said, I'm going to be Sheva Al Tasa. I'm not being involved in this death. Why? He says, if some suffer. What do you mean? There's no more pain and suffering than this. You're being burnt at the stake with the Sefer Torah. Why wouldn't he allow his death to happen 5 minutes earlier to save himself from pain and suffering? Says of some suffer, you see the favors, not like the Bis Yosef. You see that even if a person is going through terrible pain and suffering, he still does not have a right to take his life to commit suicide. That's the way the Chassam Sofer learns, which is connected to the Bis Yosef that we just quoted. They say from the Kutzker Rebbe that someone once came to him and said, I'm so sick of my life, I want to commit suicide. So the Kutzker Rebbe said, well, who said that after you commit suicide it's going to be better? You don't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam has in store for you. I mean, the Irmei Yemes writes on this, along the same lines. He says, "Anoisin Sheleg Katsamer." So he said, Rashi explains, what does it mean, Sheleg? What is the Sheleg referring to? So he says, it's referring to the Yisurim a person has in his life. It's cold, it's dark, and it's bleak. A person doesn't know what's going on. He feels lonely. That's the Sheleg in our lives. So he says, how much Sheleg does the Ribbono Shel Olam put on you? Kefi the Tzemer that you have. "Anoisin Sheleg Katsamer." Kefi the amount of wool coats that you have to cover yourself, that's how much Yisurim and tribulations the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to put you through. If a person is naked and he doesn't have any clothing, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to make you freeze. So he says that that's what it means. A person should never give up on his life because obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is testing you. It's easy for us to say when we're not being tested, but just conceptually to think about, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gives someone a nisayon, it's only kefi the tzemer that he has to actually withstand that nisayon. That's the way.
Obviously, the Beis Yosef knew the Gemara. How would he answer it?
How would the Beis Yosef answer that Gemara? Oh, so they asked that question. How does the Beis Yosef answer this Gemara? So he says, no, Reb Chanina was a big chassid. Reb Chanina, he was different. Some Sefer takes the Gemara literally and says, oh, Reb Chanina, you see, you're right. Well, how can we bring rise from Reb Chanina? He's from the Asar Rugi Malchus, the Halel Gatanoim.
Wasn't
exactly, he was the Tanumashur. Then we can't take any example from Reb Chanina himself. So now, let's move on to a very fascinating Shaila, which to me seems very strange. The question is, the Achronim discussed, let's say I'm watching someone who's about to be ma'abed atzma ledas, I watch someone who's about to take his own life and commit suicide, do I have a chiyuv to be matzil him or not? Sounds like a foolish question. What do you mean? What do you mean, do I have a chiyuv to be matzil him? If we know there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, I even have to be matzil your car if I see someone running off with the car, or I have to pick up your wallet and give it back to you. No, so I see you taking your life, I don't have to give it back to you. How could it be? How could it be? So let's see. So the Gemara says in Erevin, interestingly enough, we just had this Gemara. So, Erev and Daf Chav Tesam and Beis says the Gemara as follows: Tana Rabbanan, Lo Yochal Adam Batzel Mepnei Nachash Shabo. Says the Gemara, one is not allowed to eat a batzel. Batzelim is onions, not garlic, right? Mepnei Nachash Shabo, because we have a concern. Maybe there's going to be snakes inside of the batzelim. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, we assume all these concerns don't apply anymore. We don't have snakes. Okay, just putting that out there. Ma'aseh Rab Chanina. So the Gemara says a story with Rab Chanina. She'achal chatzi batzel v'chatzi nachash shabo v'chala. Okay. Rab Chanina says the Gemara went ahead in defiance to the Chachamim, and he went ahead and he ate a onion, and he inherently ate a snake as well. When he bit into the onion, there was a snake in there, and whatever, there's some dangerous insect in there. That's what the Gemara is talking about. V'chala, and he got very sick. V'nata lamus, he got sick from the snake to the point that he was about to die. V'biksha chaver rachmim ala v'chaya. And his friends went ahead and were mispalled to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should save him. And therefore he lived. Says the Gemara, m'pnei shahasha tzvichalot, because everybody needed Reb Chanina. He was such a towering giant of the generation. Everybody needed him, so therefore they were mispalled that he should live. Says the Ritva there. He was defiant. He went against the edict of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, don't eat a garlic, don't eat an onion, because maybe you're going to get stuck with a nachash in it and you'll get sick. Reb Chanina went ahead and he didn't listen. Therefore he got sick. Says the Ritva, he did the wrong thing. He deserved to die from it.
Is this the same Reb Chanina?
Oh, 1 second. Very good. Thank you. This is why I put them one after the other. I wanted everyone to notice that. So, it's exactly how I want to disprove this right. The Chalkas Yoav says, you see from this Gemara, what does the Gemara say? Why were they mispallel for him to live? Because they needed him. Hashat Tzrichalo. The whole generation needed him. Nu, says the Chalkas Yoav, what if they didn't need him? What if he was just stam a balabas in the street who nobody cared for? Wouldn't they save him? Let him die. Why let him die? Says the Chalkas Yoav, because he decided to go against that which is dangerous. He decided to take his life in his own hands. Not our problem. We're not mechuyev to be mispallel to save him. Apella.
Why not mechuyev? Why don't you do it? Is that awesome?
He's saying, why not help him out?
Right.
He's just saying conceptually. I don't have a mitzvah to go ahead and save this person's life, even though I have the ability. I could be misspelled for him to live. Says the Gemara, no. It's only b'pnei she'ashah tzrichalo. Otherwise, let him die. Says the Menchas Chinuch, look at this, even more surprising. Menchas Chinuch says as follows. Nira l'chayra. This is the lashon of the Menchas Chinuch. Dim echad ma'abid atzma l'das. V'yachal echad l'hatzilo. Let's say there's somebody committing suicide, and I have the ability to save him. Efshar de'enu muzer al halav. He is not muzer on the lav of the Samen al Damriyecha. Says the Menchas Chinuch, lo mi bari dalas esei v'hashivosa. We have a mitzvah of hashivosa, hashavas aveda, that you have to return someone's body, someone's money also. The rabbis aveda gufa vade en mitzuveh. Says the Menchas Chinuch, I'm for sure not mechuyif to save him because of hashivosa. Why? Ki ha esei da hashavas aveda eno naheges b'mamon ba'aveda midas. Kimavur b'shulchan aruch ha'shemishvat semerei samach aleph. Says the Menchas Chinuch, what if a person takes his wallet and throws it into the river? My mechuyif in hashavas aveda? No, it's your problem. No one told you to do that. So says the Menchas Chinuch, same over here. If I decide to take my life in my own hands, I'm not mechuyif to go ahead and save you. Because you decided, the same way about Hashavas Aveda, we assume, if a guy does it on his own will, on his own wishes, he throws his money out the window, he destroys all his property, I don't have to save it. So too says the Menchas Chinuch, there's no mitzvah Hashivosa on this person. Ela, afal alav, says the Menchas Chinuch, also on the lav of Losamino Damriyecha, eino muzer. Ela al karchach, de gam lav azeh, eino muzer, umetzuva, kei nirali bar. Says the Menchas Chinuch with assurance, I can't understand why there would be any mitzvah to save him. Now, no, he's comparing Hashavas Aveda to Vahashivosalo. There's a mitzvah Vahashivosalo. There's two different things he's talking about here. One is Vahashivosalo. That is connected with Hashavas Aveda. So he says, we prove from Hashavas Mammon to Hashavas Aguf. That the Gemara already makes that connection. The Chiddush of the Menchas Chinuch is the second step, that there's no Isur L'Saman Adamriyecha. So I left out the rest of the paragraph, but he points out that you see from some Gemara in Sanhedrin, he proves it from there, that there's no L'Saman Adamriyecha in this case either. Okay, it's an arguable... So let's...
Now let's assume this person, as you just said before, there's most of these cases, there's this person...
Oh, so that's what I want to get to. So number one, first of all, in terms of the Chalkas Yoav's Raya, he's understanding that by Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina went ahead on purpose and ate this batzel even though he knew it was dangerous. What are you talking about? Rabbi Chanina is the one in Sanhed, in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches, that was such a tzaddik that he wouldn't allow himself to take one extra second of death. He didn't want to put himself in Sakana. What are you talking about? Maybe over here, of course he made a mistake in the Gemara. The Gemara says he made a mistake. He went ahead and he ate this thing which he shouldn't have eaten. So okay, he got sick. The Chacham did oven for him because he was a Chashav Yid. Fine. I don't know how you could bring a Raya from there to anything that a person who's being Ma'abed Atzmo L'Das shouldn't be saved. That's number one. Number two, I think it's Pashut, and I spoke this over with my father. He thought it was simple the same. That this that the Menchas Chinuch's Chiddush says, that one doesn't have to save a person who's Ma'abed Atzmo L'Das, that only goes on, like we said before, the one who's doing it, kederach ha-philosophim, I'm doing it because I don't believe in life. I don't value the value of life. So therefore I take my life. So if that's the case, I don't have to go ahead and inconvenience myself to save you. However, if you have, like our type of situations, when Rachmana Litzlan, you have someone who's totally depressed, or somebody who can't live because of some sort of mental illness, and therefore he's committing suicide, but if I have the ability to save him, I could take those pills that he's ODing on and take them away from him, of course I have a chiyuv to save him. Even the Menchas Chinuch would agree to that. He's considered a shote. He's not all there. He's obviously not in his senses. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing. And obviously in that case, the Menchas Chinuch would agree that one has a chiyuv to go ahead and save him. Not only that, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, Igris Moshe Chelek Gimel Yerodeya, that I also am Mechal Shabbos to save this person's life. The same way by every other Pikuach Nefesh, one is Mechuyiv to be Mechal Shabbos, so too says Rav Moshe, obviously, there would be no excuse not to be Mechal Shabbos to save this person's life. And Rav Moshe ends off, he says, Davar zeh hu b'li shum pikpuk b'dayti. Rav Moshe writes, I am so convinced of this psak that you have to be Mechal Shabbos. He has no question, no suffix about it. Rav Moshe writes, obviously we have every mitzvah in the world and every chiyuv upon ourselves to make sure that we can save this individual from committing suicide as much as we possibly can. Now, does this say that in all scenarios a person is allowed to do that? Take, for example, the Shaila and the Malamid Lahoyal, Reb David Tzvi Hoffman. There's the following fascinating story. He says there was a couple in Germany in the times before the war. Says at the time when reform and, you know, conservative were very strong, the movement was very rampant. So the Malamid Lahoyal writes the following Shaila. He says that there was a couple who sent their son to college. I think he calls it the gymnasium, it was called, something like that. What? Yeah, there was some school, And the father told the son, I'm paying tuition, I'm sending you to college. Fine, so the son goes to college. So some hold already, that's already wrong. Fine, but naniach, that step was fine. The son went to college, everything was okay with that. Now, the father tells the son, you better go to school on Shabbos. I signed you up for a class on Shabbos, you better go to school on Shabbos. The son, it's a religious kid, he says, absolutely not, I'm not attending school on Shabbos. Back and forth, a fight with his parents. Father says he's going to take the money away. Son says, I don't care, do whatever you want. Trying to threaten the kid. Finally, the mother calls up the kid and says, I'm going to commit suicide if you don't go to class on Shabbos. So the son sends a shiloh to the Milami Lahoyel. Is it Pikuach Nefesh? Am I allowed to go ahead and go attend the classes on Shabbos and write and be Mechal Shabbos in order to save my mother's life? That was the interesting shiloh he sent to the Milami Lahoyel. Said the Milami Lahoyel, absolutely not. There's no Heter Mechal Shabbos in that case. Why? Because your mother over here is being a Rasha. She has a brera not to make such a ridiculous demand on you. Like we said before, there's no mitzvah to save someone, like the Minchas Chinuch says, if he's ma'abed atzma ladas, on principle. It's not that you're a shota, it's not that you're deranged. The mother of yours is doing it on principle. She's trying to make the son not be religious. So for that, he has to give up his Shmir Shabbos because you decided on principle that it's not right for me to skip class on Shabbos? You're being ridiculous. You have an option out. You have an option not to be a Rasha. In that case, says the Malam and the Hoyle, you have no hatred to be Mechal Shabbos. Similarly, I just want to bring L'Sabra as Ozen. Just similarly, we find, let's say for example, we all know the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Habab Machteres, so I'm allowed to kill him, right? He has a din like a Ritzach, I'm allowed to kill him. Hashkim Lahargo. Why should I go ahead and kill him? Why don't we say, Nebuch, the poor Ganev, I should give him my whole house. Pikuach Nefesh, we all know the din is, by Pikuach Nefesh, I'm mechuyev to be Mevazer, is Kol Hom Beiso, I'm mechuyev to give up all my money to save someone's life. No. So here's a person who broke into my house. I am allowed to take out my machine gun and shoot him. Why? Why don't you say, Nebuch, for the poor Ganev, it should be a matzav of Pikuach Nefesh, I should give him the keys to my house and say, fine, take whatever you want. So what's the teretz? Obviously that's wrong. What's the teretz? Because he has a brera not to steal. He had a brera not to break into my house. Now that he went ahead, he was defiant. He went ahead and did a maisa rishus. So now we say, he got himself caught in a pickle. The Torah says, Ratzeachu, now I'm allowed to kill him. We don't say that I have to give up everything I have in order to allow this person to get away with murder. No. We say he deserves whatever he's getting because he's doing it on principle. Same by the mother. That's the Malam and the Hoyle's case. When the mother is doing it on principle and saying, I want my son to go to school on Shabbos, and if he doesn't, I'm going to commit suicide. Well, that's your problem. You have a brera not to commit suicide. That's your problem. And in such a case, I'm not mechuyev to mechal Shabbos. One final case in this type of scenario would be the following fascinating case that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talks about. We know if there's a fire that breaks out on Shabbos in someone's home, and there's any sort of shred of issue of pikuach nefesh, obviously we are mechal Shabbos right away. Obviously, if it's a fire in the middle of a town, if it's a fire in a house, and we think it's going to be dangerous, obviously we put it out. Now, what is the case where we have an isolated house in the middle of the field, and it goes up in flames, everyone's out, there's no sakana at all, the fire department is standing around, it's not going to spread, nothing's going to happen. Let's say you have such a case, just theoretically. So Shlomo Zalman said in such a case, well, someone posed the following question. We all know that after the Madoff scandal, or after someone sometimes loses all his property or all his possessions, sometimes, and it's pretty likely, a person will commit suicide. Right? He's very depressed. I don't know. Anyone know the likelihood?
Well, it said 1929.
Happens. What?
It happened in 1929.
Right? 1929, people were committing suicide. Happens all the time.
His son committed suicide, one of the guys who
became... Right? So if you look in the Ovar Arech, in the Aderes Tshuva, he writes a very interesting story about someone by the name of Rabbi Avram Charlap, who was the Rav in Bialystok. I never heard of this person, but he writes that Rabbi Avram Charlap spent his whole life writing Chiddushei Torah, writing Shiurim and Svarim, and then a fire broke out, and all his Kisvei Yad were burnt, all his life's work, and a few days later he died because of the Agmas Nefesh. Not committed suicide, he died. That's the way people go. So sometimes, when a person loses all his property, or he loses something that he invested all his money in, he'll commit suicide. So they ask him, Shlomo Zalman, in the following case, what happens when you have a fire breaks out in a home on Shabbos, and there's no issue of Pikuach Nefesh at all? We know everyone's safe, fire department's here, nothing's going to happen. Are we allowed to put out the fire on Shabbos even though there's no Pikuach Nefesh because maybe we're going to save him from 2 weeks down the line committing suicide because he's depressed that he lost his whole house? That was the shiloh they posed to Shlomo Zalman Arba. You hear? So Shlomo Zalman said, nope, because don't say Safik, because even for Safik, Pikuach Nefesh or Mechal Shabbos. And the chances are pretty high that a person might commit suicide. So said Shlomo Zalman, no, you have a brera to be a Maimon Bar Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're choosing not to believe. You're choosing to get depressed over the fact that you lost all your money is your problem. The same case as the Malam
Adahaya. What about the case of pain?
My father thought that was totally unreasonable.
What about pain? The person is going to suffer pain.
Exactly. So my father thought, we're human beings. What's Shlomo Zalman talking about? We're human beings. Normal human emotion is, a person gets extremely depressed when he loses all his money. For me, that's considered Yisurim Nefloim. For most normal people, that would be considered tremendous Yisurim, tremendous suffering. Shlomo Zalman says, you have a right, you have every right in the world not to get depressed over it because you should be a Maimon Baruch Hu. What do you mean? We're talking about human beings. Human beings have feelings. Human beings have emotions. So my father felt in such a case, there's a strong tzad to say, not like a Shlomo Zalman, there's a strong tzad to assume that even in such a case, la halacha, I would be allowed to be mechal Shabbos and put the fire out to save this person from the agnus nefesh and the possible threat to his life if he would lose everything that he has. A big chiddush, but it's something just to consider. It's something to think about. I think it brings out a lot of these issues. Very lamaisa. What?
Something to consider while you're watching the house go down in flames.
Yeah.
You consider it too long. It'll be too late.
Yeah, you know, there was a person, they say, there was a person who went over to Rav Soloveitchik by a levaya. And said, I want to talk to you in learning. So Soloveitchik said, talk to me in learning. We're out of Levaya. It's inappropriate. So Soloveitchik said that the person responded to him. He said that a guy once came to the Ar Sameach when there was a fire in the town on Shabbos. And, you know, the Ar Sameach was being asked all the Shabbos. He was the Rav in the town. They're asking, could we save this? Could we save that? Could we put out the fire? Could we this, that? So the Ar Sameach is like totally bahal. So the guy comes over to him and says, Rav, can I ask you a Shaila? He says, now you're going to ask me a Shaila? I'm trying to figure out what to do here. The whole city's burning down. He says, no, the Shaila is about Isha Mishim Chitza. So this person said to him, Soloveitchik, yeah, my shalas and ilchas avelis. I'm not stam talking and learning with you. Mm-hmm. So he said, no, it's still inappropriate. It's not the right time. So anyway, so be it as it may, these are some of the scenarios that we might consider for when we would say someone might be considered a ma'abed atzmo ladas, and when, as the Achrenim call it, when do we say someone is considered a ma'abed atzmo shalo ladas. Now, let's go to the next step. What happens for a person who is ma'abed atzmo ladas, a real bona fide ma'abed atzmo ladas? You asked before, what nafkamina does it make? Who cares? So he's ma'abed atzmo ladas. So says the Rambam as follows. The Rambam here in Perek Aleph, Hilchas Avel Halacha Yud Aleph, which is number Ches, the Rambam tells us, ha'ma'abed atzmo ladas, eim is askin imo l'chol dover. We do not deal with this dead body at all. We give him no respect. V'lo mis'abnu alav, v'lo mas'pidinoso. Says the Rambam, we do not give any chashivas to such a person. We don't have any haspedim, no avelis on him, aval omnim ala b'shura, says the Gemara, says the Rambam, I'm sorry, we still would do a shura, but omnim ala b'rchas ha'avelim, v'chol dar b'shu kav l'chaim. Why? Because the relatives are still suffering. So we still have to console the relatives, but l'maisa, they don't sit shiva, because shiva is kavad ames.
We bury him.
So we bury him, but we don't bury him in a Jewish cemetery. We bury him outside. And in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, in Yeradeyasim, and Shin Mem Hei, also that, e misablim ala ma'abed atzmo ladas. However, one very important caveat is, number one, if he's ma'abed atzmo shalala das, like we said, which is most of the cases we know of, he has some sort of mental illness, so then we would be ma'abel over him. And furthermore, the Chassam Sofer points out that even if a person is a real bona fide ma'abed atzmo ladas, still says the Chassam Sofer, if it's a major busha to the family to go ahead and tell everybody that this is what happened, says the Chassam Sofer, we value the Kavod HaChaim very much. And we would tell the family to go ahead and sit shiva because we don't want to embarrass them that people should find out what happened. That's a very interesting psak. One thing that the Pnei Baruch writes, which is the standard Sefer Anochas Avelis, which many people use, so he says, even if we have a ma'abed atzmo ladas, still we say a kel malei rachamim because that's midin gemilas chasadim. Midin gemilas chasadim, we still try to help the nifter and get him some sort of schus and shamayim. So he says, we still say a kel malei rachamim. It's an interesting thing to think about.
That's really interesting. Once you're doing that, then you open up the whole Pandora's box.
What?
Why not do a tahara on
him? Uh-huh.
Why not?
Right.
Do
a tahara on him. Why not bury him in a Jewish cemetery?
What?
Well, you bury him.
I don't understand. No,
right, they bury him on the side. Yeah.
What's unique?
I don't know. It's an interesting interesting psak he has there. Right. Yeah, we do everything, Bizmanazah. Yeah, that's what we assume.
We assume that everyone's
everyone's a chayla. Yeah, that's the way we assume.
Except there's a chilek they make by Kriya.
Not familiar. Okay, so just for one last part, just for one last point here. We are all familiar with the concept. It's a famous line that everyone quotes, that ma'abed atzmo ladas ein lo chelek lo l'ma'ab. So the Teferis Yisrael writes in the 10th parak in Sanhedrin, that why do we call him Ma'abid Atzma Ladas? Why don't we call him a Horeg Atzma Ladas? Says the Teferis Yisrael that the Lashon Ma'abid Atzma Ladas has more of a connotation that he's Ma'abid, he's lost, he's Mu'ubad. Sounds like he's lost from Alam Haba. Not just he's not here, not just he was Ratzeach Atzma Ladas and he's no longer in this world. He's Ma'abid Atzma even in the world to come. That's what the Teferis Yisrael learns, why we call him by the term of Ma'abid Atzma Ladas. But look at this very fascinating Shalom Eshev. If you look at number test, Shalom Eshev has in his Hasagas on Shulchan Aruch the following comment: Shagar b'fi ha'olam. We are all used to hearing the Ma'abid Atzma Ladas in the Chelak Lam Haba. Abel says the Shalom Eshev lo nimtza b'shum sefer mafurish. I never saw this quoted anywhere. Says the Shalom Eshev. Where do we get this from? Afshe b'chavus alavus mashmer kain. Says the Shalom Eshev. The Chavus alavus quotes this all the time. Says in the Chelak Lam Haba. However, Abel lo nimtza b'furish.
No original source.
No original source. And that's what everyone's bothered with. How do we know that Ma'abid Atzma Ladas is Eino Chelek Lalam Haba? Very interesting thing. So if you look in the Gemara Ksuba Staf Kuf Gim Lamed Beis, along these lines, the Gemara says as follows. We're told about the Hespit of Rebbe. The Gemara there talks about the day that Rebbe died. So look at this Gemara. Hahu Yuma Da'ashkaf to the Rebbe. The day that Rebbe passed away, the day of his funeral, Nafka Basko V'Amra, Basko came out in Hashemayim and said, Kol Da'avi Ba'ashkaf to the Rebbe, anyone who was there at the Levaya of Rebbe, Mezuman Hulachai Olam Haba. So right away on the spot for Ektosis, what do you mean? Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Lalam Haba? So what's the Chiddush?
Mezuman.
Oh, so Tosis answers, Mezuman, meaning you're going to go without a Din Mechesh. No questions asked. They're going to open the gates of Shemayim when you get there, straight up into Shemayim. No problem. That's what Tosis writes. Okay, so it says the Gemara in the Hamshech. So Hahu Kovitz, there was a laundromat. And the owner of the laundromat, Kol Yoma Habi Asikame, every day he would come to Rebbe, ask him certain shilohs and business, certain things. Went on in his house, he would come to talk to him. Hahu Yuma, business was busy. He was busy in the laundromat. He couldn't come to the Levaya. Lo Asa, didn't come to the Levaya. He didn't know about it because he was tired in his business. Kivin the Shama Hachi, but then people told him that a Baskol came out and said, anyone who attended the funeral of Rebbe is going straight to Olam Haba. So he was so upset that he was going to be left out of that promise that he's going to go to Olam Haba. Salik le'igra, he went up to the roof and nafala aru mis. He committed suicide because he was so depressed over the fact that everyone else who attended the funeral was going to Olam Haba, and punk, the one day I didn't show up to yeshiva, I lose out. Yatzitz Abasko v'amra Abasko came out in Hashemayim and said, Afa hu koves mezuman hu l'chai Olam Haba. He's also going to Olam Haba. So what's going on here? We just said, the famous line is, Ma'abed Atzma Ladas, Ein l'chelek l'Olam Haba. So why is this not Ladas? So that's the question. So the Birkei Yosef writes that the Pshat is because he was going to live with Yisurim the rest of his life, killing himself. Why? He missed this promise to get into Olam Haba, says the Chidon, the Shem HaGdolim. He writes that for a person to live with that pain and suffering, with that anguish for the rest of his life, that's considered a heter from Ma'abed Atzma Ladas, like the Beis Yosef says. Okay, interesting suggestion. But I just want to bring out one very interesting Mar Makam. If you look there in the Shittim Kubetzas and Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, he quotes a whole other story here that our Gemara doesn't say. And with this he explains why this laundromat was allowed, why this person from the laundromat was allowed to take his own life. Says the Shittim Kubetzas, quoting Yerushalmi. He says, that day that Rebbe died was a Friday afternoon. And the Levaya, anyone was at Rebbe Yashua's Levaya in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
So from people who were there, they say it took forever to get anywhere, you couldn't get in the city, out of the city. And you know, you thought you were going to get home by a certain time, but the place was a zoo, right? So imagine, in the time that Rebbe passed away, also the whole city was a zoo, everyone's going to the Levaya, and here we are, Friday afternoon, we have to prepare for Shabbos. So, everyone's busy with the Levaya, but they have to prepare for Shabbos. So a nace happened, says the Yerushalmi, a nace happened, that the sun set a few hours later than it otherwise would have, in order to give people a chance to get back and prepare for Shabbos, and be Mekabel Shabbos normally. That's what the Gemara says. Yerushalmi tells us that a nace happened on that day, and the sun set later than it generally would have. So this guy from the laundromat keeps looking outside. He says, oh, it's still light outside. He keeps doing malacha. He's doing more business. And he's doing business till 9, 10 o'clock at night, not realizing that Shabbos already started. Just the only reason the sun's still out is to give people more time. So he realized, after the Baskol came out, he realized that he had no excuse to be Mechal Shabbos. He realized everybody else who was involved in the funeral... What?
The sun didn't set.
Oh, so the kash on the Yerushalmi is Shabbos didn't start, the sun didn't set. But Lamaisa, the Yerushalmi says it was an ace, and the ace only applied for the people who went to the funeral, but for him, he held his Mechal Shabbos. So because of that, he took his life in his own hands to give him a Chiyuv Misa. He wanted a kapara for what he did, so he jumped off the roof to get a chiyuv misa. It's like a skila. We say by skila, they throw a person off the roof, and then they throw stones at him. So he said he wanted to give himself skila, because that's on Mechal Shabbos is chayiv. So that's the pshat in the kovis. That's why he's mezum in the chayil maba, because he got a kapara. That's the pshat in this gemara. That's the way the Yerushalmi has it, and that's the way the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the story. A lot missing from our gemara as we have it. Yeah, a lot of holes in the story, a lot of questions, very interesting, but this is one place where some raise issue. Don't you find over here that someone who committed suicide goes to Olam Haba? This seems to go against everything we ever believed in, that someone who commits suicide does not have a chelik in Olam Haba.
But with his sense of the pressure.
What?
Sense of the pressure was so
that's what the Birkei Yosef writes in the Chidah, right? That's what the Chidah writes in the Shem HaGdolim, that the sense of depression led him to it, so then it's Ma'abed Atzma Shalola does, yeah?
What's the answer that you started with?
So back to the question we started with. We started with the Shaila from the Holocaust, an unfortunate Shaila. What's the halacha in this case? So according to the Beis Yosef, quoting the Archas Chaim, we would assume a person who Nebuch is going to have to go through such terrible Yisurim, a person is going to have to experience the whole family being murdered and suffering under his nose, in that type of case, we would assume, according to the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, that one would be allowed to take his life in his own hands, and that is not considered a ma'abed atzmo l'das in any stretch of the imagination. That's the way the Beis Yosef would learn, quoting the Archas Chaim. According to the other answers that we learn, which the Achronim explain, the story of Shaul, there's more room to question whether or not we can apply that story of Shaul to other real-life scenarios. We should be mispalo, that we should never have these type of shailas halacha l'maaseh.
What about Ashura?
What?